paid by the hour.
Great sponsors make an event happen. Battle of the Bighorns Jackpot Show would like to thank all our sponsors for supporting youth in agriculture. Special thanks to this year's show sponsors, L&H Industrial, Little Goose Ranch, Sheridan YO Rodeo, and TE Farms. Visit our Facebook page to see more of our great local sponsors. Battle of the Bighorns Jackpot Show, May 22nd and 23rd, the Sheridan County Fairgrounds. No admission and the public is welcome to attend.
Hi, this is Taylor, front of house manager at Frackleton's. From the moment you walk in, we want your meal to feel easy, welcoming, and unrushed. A great night out isn't just about what's on the plate. It's how you're greeted, how you're taken care of, and how everything flows. We pay attention to the details so you don't have to. Good food, good service, good timing, start to finish. Frackleton's, Main Street, downtown Sheridan. Oh, and book your table early on Frackleton's.com.
Is it tinnitus? Is it tinnitus? Regardless, it's annoying. Hi, this is JT with Ebia Hearing. Ringing in your ears isn't something you have to just live with. Tinnitus affects millions, and treatment has come a long way. From specialized hearing aids to breakthrough therapy like Lanier, we can help reduce tinnitus symptoms over time. Relief is possible. At Ebia Hearing, our specialists can help you find the right path forward. Call 674-8920 to schedule your hearing loss or tinnitus consultation today. That's 674-8920.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Wednesday, May 13th, already. From the foot of the Bighorns in Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. And this morning, we are joined by Wyoming Game and Fish Department Public Information Specialist, Christina Schmidt. Good morning, my friend. Welcome back.
Good morning.
I feel like it's, I don't know, maybe the last month has just been really, really long, but a few of my other regulars, I just feel like I haven't gotten to see you guys in so long.
Well, I wasn't here last month.
We had Reed.
You had Reed, and yeah, so yeah, it's been a couple months since you and I visited.
Yeah, I guess it has been a couple months. Well, it's good to see you.
You as well. You as well.
I'm glad we're finally in the spring. It feels like we've gotten more snow in the spring than we did in the winter this year. Just out of curiosity, is anyone in the Game and Fish talking about precipitation or migratory habits due to that or anything
of course.
Like that?
Oh, really? Yeah. It's something certainly we're keeping an eye on, you know, for lots of different reasons. You know, water levels in reservoirs and creeks and streams, you know, that's a concern as we go further into the warmer months. You know, if water temperatures rise, then, you know, we'll certainly you know, have messaging, reach out to anglers on, you know, best practices for fishing. In warmer water, of course, our terrestrial habitat biologists watching, you know, are we getting precipitation? What kind of vegetation growth are we going to have? It affects everything for sure. I mean, lots of people are concerned for different reasons, and not just Game and Fish. I mean, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Man, it's quite a drought, not even just in Wyoming, but all over the West, it sounds like. So.
And all you got to do is just take a walk by the creek. You know, after speaking with the Game and Fish fisheries biologist last month, I thought, okay, well, how bad is August really going to look? Because that's usually around the time when we start getting concerned about fish die off within our creeks. And so the wife and I have been taking the dogs for a walk. We have a dog who loves the creek, but I generally don't let her play in it this time of year. She can play in it all she wants right now, which she loves. I don't, because that means there's just not a lot of water coming down.
Yeah. I think, you know, it's very visible to folks right now, the lack of water that's coming through creeks and streams and in reservoirs. So, yeah, it's, like you said, a very visible thing. It's certainly a topic of conversation. You talk to folks and
you start,
you know, when I was younger, I used to think, why do people talk about the weather all like they
yeah,
people talk
too.
About the weather all the time. Now I talk about weather all the time and like, oh my gosh, I hope it rains. And
yeah.
I hope it rains. I hope we get, you know, more precipitation for sure. We need it.
Yeah. And just for, you know, all of our anglers out there who are listening, I know a lot of really great responsible individuals. As the fisheries biologist said last month, folks, check that temperature of the water. If it's up to a certain degree, head up in altitude to go fishing this year. This down here in the lower elevations, man, I'm worried about the fish die off. Mm-hmm. That's my big concern. It gets a little hot in that water for those guys, and the oxygen levels just aren't there. So make sure you're heading up to higher elevations if you're going to do a lot of catch and release this year. Now, I got off on a side tangent, Christina, and I'm sorry, because we have a few things to talk about. One pertaining to an open public comment period on 6 regulation chapters. How do we learn what those chapters are?
Yeah, so periodically we open up different chapters, so different chapters correspond with different regulations. So like for season setting, for when we set seasons for, you know, elk and deer and moose and pronghorn, those are all separate chapters. So they're numbered chapters, but then they have a title with them. So different regulations come open potentially during the year on different schedules to get reviewed, where go through, look at language, anything need to be updated or changed or anything like that. So season setting is what folks are most familiar with, right? Every year we set those seasons. So those chapters are opened, modifications are made, comments are taken, it's presented to the commission, they make the final decision. So we had season setting earlier this spring. Now we have 6 more chapters open. And so I'll run through them real quick because it's 6, but it's hunting permit regulation for persons with disabilities, regulation of issuance of licenses, permits, stamps, tags, preference points, and competitive raffle chances, gray wolf hunting seasons, private fish hatcheries, home state license suspension procedures for the Wildlife Violator Compact, and regulation of aquatic invasive species. So that's a lot. Very diverse. So we had a public meeting Monday evening to take public comments, but the comment period is still open. So, you know, these meetings are held around the state, but then there's also a longer comment period where folks, if you can't make the meeting, you can still provide comments. So I think the best thing for folks to do, if you go to our website, at the top, there's the Get Involved tab and there's a public input part. And it's going to list, and this is true throughout the year, whatever chapter regulation is open at that time, if there is one open, it's going to be listed there. So right now, these 6 are listed there by chapter, so individual, and you can look. There's 3 things there that are really helpful. One is the draft regulation itself. So there's, when you click on the link, you'll see the regulation. It'll have within the document highlighted changes of, like, here's the wording changes. And
so easy to see.
Yeah, very easy to see. But a summary is also provided, a statement of reasons. So for example, like one of the chapters is chapter 44. That's like pages and pages and pages. It's a big chapter. There's just a lot to go through. So I encourage everyone, for any chapter that they're interested in, read the statement of reasons first. That is just a nice kind of 1 or 2 page summary of, like, here's what is being proposed and why. Mm. You know, it's just, it helps you, you know, it's just kind of that nice summary of, like, oh, yeah, this is something I want to read more about. Go to the actual regulations, see what the wording change is. So that is the best thing to do. Read that statement of reasons, then read the draft regulations so you have an understanding of what it is. And then there's the comment form. So you can click right there, provide an online comment. And again, it's by chapter. So you can provide a comment online, or if you prefer, you can download and a written comment form and mail it in. A lot of folks just do the online, but you do still have the written option. So another confusing thing. So there's 6 chapters open. 5 of them, the comment period closes at 5 p.m. on June 10th. But chapter 44, so this is the big one I was talking about, the very long one, that one has a separate comment period. It's open until 5 p.m. on June 18th. Okay. So two different comment periods. That's listed on the website as well, so you'd be able to see that. And so once these comments periods close, all of the received public comments from the meetings or online or mailed in are presented to the commission. And they so it's just like season setting. They're going to review all of these comments before their meeting. And so they're getting that public input and see what the public has commented on for these different chapters before they review, discuss, and vote on these potential changes at their meeting. So their meeting will be in July. So that's why these comment periods are going to close in June, gives them plenty of time to go through and review all of those.
And because they really do need time to get through all these comments.
Oh, yeah,
because they consider every single one.
Yeah.
To your memory, can you remember a time when you saw a regulation change that was proposed, but then public comments flooded it and they were like, you know what? Feels like they don't want this or they don't agree with
it. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, that definitely happens. And the other thing, too, is folks can actually go to the commission meeting. So this isn't your only chance. You know, certainly, you know, this is a thing. And those meetings move throughout the state.
I have noticed that they're kind of everywhere.
Yeah, you may not be able to drive to Torrington to present, but there's a Zoom option, so you can still provide like a verbal testimony to the commission. So there's lots of ways to provide comment on it. So the written part, online comments, that's one, but certainly you do have the option to go to a meeting or call into a meeting as well. So,
and I don't think, you know, it seems kind of self-explanatory, but why is it important for hunters, anglers, and outdoor recreationists to really pay attention to some of these chapter proposed changes?
Yeah, I mean, these are the regulations. So this is the framework, the guidelines that everyone operates within. And like we've talked about before, wildlife is a public resource. And so it's important for hunters, anglers, landowners, anyone interested in wildlife to, you know, again, it's a lot, you know, like we said, there's six chapters here, but, you know, if you have a particular interest in something, like, this is a great way to look and say, oh, yeah, I'm very interested in, you know, pronghorns hunting, or I'm very interested in aquatic invasive species, whatever it is. This gives you an opportunity to kind of keep tabs and see, like, okay, here's what the regulations are, and you know, the framework that everyone is going to be working within.
And it's great to just make your voice heard.
Yeah.
You know, if you are truly invested in this, or you're a sportsman or a sportswoman out there enjoying it every single year, I feel like, you know, you have a right to be able to say, hey, I want to contribute to this entire process. And I think this is a fantastic way to get it done.
Yeah.
Now, let's move on down the line. Wyoming Sportsperson Conservation Forum. What is this?
So this is led by the governor. This will be the third year where the governor has brought together sports people for a forum, a symposium, a conference for conversation. So the past 2 years, it was held in Dubois. Folks may have heard about this over there in the summer, and it was decided this year to move it to a new location, and it will actually be in Gillette this year.
Oh, wow. Nice and close.
Yeah. Again, back to like trying to make it convenient for folks who were interested to try to get to something in person. So it will be Friday, June 26th in Gillette at the Camplex. The governor will be there. Our director, Angie Bruce, will be there. And it's an event that brings together lots of stakeholders. And it goes back to your question of why should people be involved? You know, hunters and anglers certainly are important conservationists. This is a great opportunity to come and visit. And the focus of this is discussion, conversation, questions. There will be some presentations to it, but basically we have some different topics. And there'll be, you know, some short presentations, but then a discussion of, you know, all these things that impact wildlife. So the way the day is going to be set up in the morning, it's an all-day event. Lunch is provided. So that's why there is a ticket required. So it's $25 to attend. and that will include lunch. But in the morning, there will be two kind of big discussions, longer discussions with like the entirety of everyone who's attending. So one will be the mule deer conservation strategy. So this is a new conservation strategy we have for mule deer being led by Game and Fish, but bringing in lots of other partners. So there will be an overview of that program, what it's going to look like, what we hope it looks like, how people can get involved with it, and then engagement and involvement. And again, a big discussion on how can sports people just, I mean, if you love to watch birds, how do you get involved in, you know, in, again, engagement and involvement? How do you get involved with some of these decisions and policies and things that impact wildlife? So those are kind of the two big ones, engagement and involvement, getting people, again, involved, speaking up, learning about wildlife issues and the mule deer conservation strategy. Then we'll have lunch. Then there will be four breakout sessions. Those will be smaller, you know, a little more intimate conversations with panelists. And those four are going to be post-wildfire, which will be a big one.
I was going to say that's probably going to be one of the main topics this
year. Yes, yes. And I think that one will be really good because it'll talk about, okay, here's, and we have some great panelists for that one. Everything from a landowner who was affected by a big fire to folks working on invasive species control post-fire. Mm-hmm. So that will be a great one, I think. Landowner investment in conservation, that'll be great. A discussion on public access, that's a big issue for hunting and fishing, and certainly on the eastern side of the state, public access, you know, what are we doing? How can we do it better? And then effective policy making. So again, how can folks get involved and learn more about policies that affect wildlife? So should be a great, great day. Again, the emphasis is, you know, some presentations, some like here's some information, but instead of being talked to, we want folks
to talk back.
Everyone to be talking and having these conversations and figuring out where they might fit in helping wildlife conservation in the state. So it should like be a great day.
It's discussion, not presentation.
Yeah.
And I really, really enjoy that. Yeah. Now, one more time, when is that going to take place and how do we get registered?
So June 26th, it's a Friday. It is an all-day event, but certainly if you can only make it in the morning or only in the afternoon, you know, certainly come when you can. It'll be at the Camplex. We'll have everything on our website. There's some information right now. Hopefully we'll get the full agenda when everything is finalized, posted up there so folks can see a timeline. Tickets are $25. You do get a lunch. Go to our website at the top under news and events. There will be a whole link here with that information specifically about the forum. So,
all right. And on that, I got to take a quick commercial break. We're going to have more with our Wyoming Game and Fish Department when we return. You're listening to Public Pulse, 930 KROE, 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust invites you to the Rooted in Adventure Sweepstakes.
Now through July, every eligible purchase with your First Federal MasterCard debit card earns an entry.
You don't have a card? Open an account online to start participating.
The more you use your card, the more chances you earn.
You could win a trip for two to New York, LA, Miami, or Chicago, or prepaid MasterCards worth $1,000 or $500.
The Rooted in Adventure Sweepstakes on now at First Federal Bank and Trust. Go to efirstfederal.bank for full details.
I'm here with Candace Kindred from Teriyaki Madness, one of Sheridan's most popular restaurants. Does catering?
Tommy, hi. If you want to mix things up from the usual catering lineup, we're bringing something fresh your group will actually get excited about.
You got my attention.
Think our insanely popular orange chicken, grilled steak or chicken, tofu, fresh veggies, and gluten-free options made hot and fresh just for your crew.
That's a big upgrade from the usual.
And reach out to me before you place your order and you'll get free setup and delivery.
Bring the madness to your next event with Teriyaki Madness Catering.
Ever catch your reflection in your car door and think, did someone write "wash me" on my forehead? Yeah, it's time. Your locally owned Napa Auto Parts has everything to fix that situation, from car wash and detailing supplies to make your ride shine to oil, filters, and tune-up essentials to keep it running like it should. even what you need to get that mower fired up without the annual argument. Scan the QR code in this week's Country Bounty for great deals and savings at Napa Auto Parts. Right parts, right price, right now at Napa.
Doug, what kind of a tire costs a dollar?
The fourth one, Bob.
There's got to be a catch.
No catch. Buy three tires, get the fourth one for just a dollar at Waring Chevrolet.
Brand name tires?
Yep. BF Goodrich, Continental, Firestone, Goodyear, Michelin, Pirelli, and more.
So I get four tires for basically the price of three?
Exactly.
Wow, I suddenly love tire shopping.
Happens all the time, Bob.
A tire sale the Waring way.
WaringSheridan.com or stop by and see us at 107 East Alger.
When it comes to imaging, not all technology is the same. At Shared Memorial Hospital, we use some of the most advanced imaging technology in the state, delivering sharper images and faster answers. From a state-of-the-art 3T MRI to advanced CT and X-ray, our technology helps your provider see more and act sooner. Walk in or schedule at Same Day Health and Imaging on Sugarland Drive, open 7 days a week, or visit the outpatient center next to the hospital. For more information, call 672-1000 or visit SheridanHospital.org.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting, and this morning we're speaking with Wyoming Game and Fish Department Public Information Specialist Christina Schmidt. All right, we've got a lot to talk about. I put up a story the other day. Let's talk about it. The annual Free Fishing Day. How does that work?
So this has been going on for, many years. So each year the Game and Fish Department designates the first Saturday of National Fishing and Boating Week as a free fishing day in Wyoming. So this is a day where you can go fish anywhere in Wyoming, with the exception of the Wind River Reservation and Yellowstone National Park, of course. But you can fish without a license, with the idea that, you know, we want folks to have the opportunity to go give it a try, see if they like it, get started with a new hobby, get started fishing. So this year it'll be Saturday, June 6th. So that's, I believe, the first Saturday of the month. And so you don't need a fishing license that day. You do have to follow all the other regulations. So, you know, make sure you pick up a copy of the regulations or look at them online before you go, because, you know, there will still be regulations on, you know, depending on where you go, you know, what you can keep and bait regulations, things like that. So all the other regulations are still in place. So be familiar with those. But just a great opportunity to go out and give it a try. If you haven't done it before, or take a kid particularly, that'd be great. So
I've been up to one of the local dams during this free fishing day, and it is pretty great to see, you know, not just the dads but all the moms out there with the kids. And I've been fishing since I was just a little boy. And those are some of my fondest memories. Sitting with Dad on a bank.
Yeah.
Being too loud.
Yeah.
I was always too loud. But just having a lot of fun sitting there fishing. Now, we do have an opportunity coming up for Kids Fishing Day.
Correct. So, again, I'll encourage folks to go to our website, because there are a couple different things here. So, the Free Fishing Day. And there are some events around the state that happen on Free Fishing Day, where it's more of like an organized event. So there are different places that do that. But for us here in the Sheridan region, so there's that Free Fishing Day. But then the past few years, again, there's been a Kids Fishing Day. So this is separate from the Free Fishing Day. This is on a different day. But the Forest Service partners with this. Trout Unlimited, backcountry hunters and anglers, and then, of course, Game and Fish personnel come as well. This has been happening in June for, several years. Just in the past year or two, they moved locations. It used to be, I believe, by the Porcupine Ranger Station, but now it's, the past couple of years, it's been at Bear Lodge Resort, that pond right there, and that's been a great location. So this year it will be June 27th from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., and yeah, it's an event focused on having kids come out. I went last year. It was a lot of fun. Oh my gosh. I got a great picture of a little girl coming out. She had her sunglasses, her hat. A bucket, her rod, everything. I mean, just loaded down with everything she needed and went, you know, trotting out there and found herself a spot and caught a bunch of fish. So, yeah, it's a really fun day. So, gosh, I think we even had people from Buffalo come all the way up, too.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so everyone's welcome to come participate. Bring your own equipment if you have it. Of course, sunscreen, water, all of those things. Check the regulations depending on age and residency. You may or may not need a license. So resident youth under 14 do not need a fishing license, and they have their own creel limit. But non-resident youth under 14 have to be accompanied by an adult who does have a Wyoming valid fishing license, and they share a creel limit. So there's some of those things to be aware of. Again, just grab a copy of the regulations. And make sure you're familiar, you know, if you've got family visiting in town, they're welcome to come. Just there's going to be different regulations for folks. So, yeah, great day. A lot of fun.
June 27th.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. We had great weather. Everyone caught fish. It was great.
All right. We're running out of time. So let's just touch on this real quick. Bears are out and about.
Bears. Yes, we are seeing bears out and about, getting some reported conflicts. So a reminder, we'll talk about it throughout the summer. Every year. Please put up your attractants. Having some issues with bird feeders, chickens and associated feed with chickens, things like that. So, and then of course garbage. So just be aware, you know, they're out and about. Please, you know, keep garbage, keep livestock feed, anything that's an attractant, barbecue grills, things like that, out of the reach of bears in a hard-sided building. For trash, please bring it out just the morning of pickup instead of leaving it out, you know, throughout the week. Bird feeders, put them out of the reach of bears. Just take a good look around your property and see anything that's going to be an attractant that is going to have a bear. Potentially show interest and stick around. And the reminder that if you do have what you think is a bear, or you do see one, you know, near a residential property, please be sure to call as quick as possible. You know, unfortunately, people tend to wait. You know, bear gets in their trash, they pick it up and put it back out. Bear gets in the trash again. You know, and in that kind of pattern gets established before they call, before they're like, oh yeah, I'm kind of tired of picking up trash or fixing the bird feeders or whatever. And by then, you know, you have a bear that's become used to being around homes and people and getting food rewards. So please call.
That's a first time go situation, folks.
You know, there's a much better chance of, you know, we just have better management outcomes if we can intervene earlier, you know, as soon as a conflict happens. So, but best practice is prevention. You know, most of Sheridan County is bear country. So the potential is always there. Just please take a look and be vigilant with that. Also, newborn wildlife, getting quite a few calls, people finding chicks that have hatched. And of course, you know, a lot of birds have had chicks already. A lot more will be coming. And a lot of birds, you know, a lot of chicks do fall out of nests. They're on the ground. That's okay. That's just part of being a baby bird is you spend a little time on the ground. Mom or dad or both sometimes. We've got a pair of geese we've been watching near our place. They're both very protective of their little goslings. So, you know, mom and dad or mom still around, still protecting, still feeding, still watching out for that little one. Kids a lot of times are the ones, like if they're in the backyard, find chicks.
And they're concerned.
And they're concerned. Yeah. You know, it doesn't look right to them to have, you know, a little tiny
baby out there
and they don't see mom. So, you know, have a conversation with them that like animals raise their babies different than us, and that's okay. And it's actually, you know, something that they can help with too. Like if they have a dog or a cat, you know, for the few days that chick's going to be on the ground before it can get up and going. If you have a cat, keep it inside. If you have a dog, make it their job to like, okay, put the dog on a leash to go out and go potty and keep it away from the chicks. So they can help. It's just picking it up, bringing it inside, or, you know, trying to feed it or trying to put it somewhere else, that's not going to help the chick. But there are other things you can do that a kid will feel like they did help. And it does help, like, because those, you know, they are vulnerable when they're on the ground for a bit. But, you know, there's some things we can do to minimize that. So.
And helps make them feel involved.
It does. Yeah.
Christina, I've run out of time with you, my friend. It's always great to see you.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for sending the guys last month. It was great speaking with both of them. I love the AAIS information that is absolutely vital to our state. And then, of course, the biology information that's been on my mind since. Been thinking about that, checking that creek every
single
day.
Andrew does a great job.
He's an amazing and very, very smart individual. So thank you.
Greatly appreciate it. Well, we appreciate the opportunity.
All right. When we return, we're going to speak with the Sheridan Advocacy and Resource Center. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust customers, your next adventure could start with your debit card.
With the Rooted in Adventure sweepstakes, every eligible purchase earns you an entry.
Just use your First Federal MasterCard debit card now through July 31st.
Don't have one? Visit First Federal to get your card and start earning entries.
The more you use it, the more chances you'll receive.
You could win a trip for two to New York, LA, Miami, or Chicago.
Or a $1,000 or $500 prepaid MasterCard.
Just go online to efirstfederal.bank for full details.
Wyoming has a real choice for Congress. We can send another politician to Washington, or we can send Frank Chapman, a rancher, a businessman. Frank knows a thing or two about balancing a checkbook. Frank's no politician. He's a conservative fighter for people like us. Frank Chapman for Congress.
Frank Chapman lives Wyoming values. Hard work, straight talk, and Frank's never backed down from a fight. Chapman is a rancher, a father, not a politician. Frank Chapman is the conservative we need in Congress. That's why conservative groups like CPAC have endorsed Chapman.
I am blessed in that God put me in a place where I could succeed.
Frank Chapman is the fighter we need in Congress.
Frank Chapman, Wyoming rancher, American businessman. He'll seal the border, back our ICE agents, unleash American energy, defend your Constitution, and make America great again. Frank Chapman, conservative for Congress.
Paid for by Fighting for Wyoming. Fightingforwyoming.com, who is responsible for the content of this advertising, and it is not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Get ready to ignite your potential. Join us May 19th for the Chamber's 11th annual Ignite Conference, a power-packed day of professional development and business inspiration for professionals at every level. Topics include marketing, leadership, human resources, finance, business development, and technology. The lineup this year also features specialized executive and entrepreneurial tracks. For details and to register, visit SheridanWyomingChamber.org. The 2026 Ignite Conference is sponsored in part by Legacy Ridge Private Wealth, First Interstate Bank, and our Chamber community partners.
Mandy Kolchiska from Century 21 BHJ Realty brings you this Pet of the Week from the Dog and Cat Shelter. 3-year-old Murphy is a handsome border collie mix with a big old heart of gold. He plays well with other dogs, and with a little love and training, he'll absolutely flourish with you. Soup is a sweet and spicy kitty who wants to be your one and only object of affection. If you're tired of being home alone, 3-year-old Soup wants to be your new roommate.
At Carroll's Furniture, we believe in American-made quality, the kind that lasts for generations.
From the legendary comfort of Lazy Boy to handcrafted John Thomas dining, custom Mayo upholstery, and solid Von Bassett bedroom sets, every piece is built with pride right here in the USA.
Visit us at Carroll's Furniture at 340 North Main in Sheridan or online at carrollsfurniture.com.
Carroll's Furniture, American-made, family-trusted, where quality and comfort meet.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. For our second part this morning, I am joined by Sheridan Advocacy and Resource Center Assistant Director and Victim Witness Coordinator, Rhonda Weber. Good morning and welcome back, my friend.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you.
It's one of those crazy, crazy months, as you said.
Yes.
You know, everyone's pretty busy right now, especially if you're a parent. How are things at the center? numbers wise, people coming and going.
Yep. Center wise, we are on track. Nothing too dramatic, not a lot of increases or decreases. We're wrapping up all of our school presentations. So I have one more to do tomorrow at the Sheridan Junior High School in eighth grade. And number wise, I feel like a lot of our criminal cases are wrapping up. Of course, new ones start, but you know, when you're waiting on these criminal cases to wrap up, it seems like they all happen at once. And so a lot of our advocates gone at court lately. And so it does feel like the end of a year, really. I mean, but summer opens up new possibilities just because, of course, crime continues, but then we get to reshift to planning mode for planning for the next school year. So,
Rhonda, I'm going to tell you, I thought about you guys the other day and the emotional investment that each advocate gives.
Mm-hmm.
And one reason why I've always been one of those people, I'm too passionate, mm-hmm. my friend.
Yeah.
You know, I think I get too attached.
Yeah, sure. That's normal. I mean, that empathetic personality can be helpful in a lot of situations, but in our advocacy work, it can be harmful to you yourself as the empath. And so there's nothing wrong with being passionate and empathetic. It's just, how do we really focus and guide that helping nature?
Yeah.
And so that's what I work really hard to train our advocates to do. Advocacy work is human connection. I mean, it really truly is. And so we're trying to hire people that are really great with human connection and do have that empath side of them. But mostly we want those non-judgmental, compassionate, you know, people that can really shift that focus and not be stuck in the empath.
Well, having the individuals come through the door, first off, anyone who's willing to walk through that door and be an mm-hmm. advocate, I applaud.
Yeah,
fantastic.
Me too. Yeah.
But I would think that there are individuals where you're like, okay, pull it back, sweetie.
Yeah, of course.
I need you to be less invested in this because you got another case right behind you.
Yeah. Well, and even, I mean, that's normal, right? I mean, I'm not saying we can never do that.
Oh, exactly.
But it's normal. And I think we have to, we're always very aware that whatever we're doing is going to be helpful and not harmful. And so if I'm stuck in the emotion with them, then that can teeter on being harmful. You know, how do we shift everything then to move forward, be helpful, connect them to resources, empower them to move forward? And so that's what I'm constantly trying to do with our staff is guide them. That's the biggest, my biggest role is guiding our staff, making sure they stay on track because we are human. It is normal to get sad. It is normal to get frustrated, even with the person we're serving or with the systems we're involved in. All of that's normal. And if they didn't feel that from time to time, then I would be concerned. But
yeah.
Thankfully, all of our staff is positioned in the spot where they want to be helpful, and they're able to compartmentalize that.
And I mean, is it during their training, are there mm-hmm. sections of the training that are kind of addressing that?
Yeah. I mean, I think that we do address it, but that's what I'm addressing every day, right?
Yeah.
You know, I walked into the office today and, you know, one of our advocates had just a really complex situation going on. And, you know, this advocate she's wonderful. I look up to her and, you know, she's, I don't know what to say. I'm just frustrated. And so, well, let's sit down and let's talk about that. And that, you know, not only do we do human connection, but we in our office,
together.
You know, together do human connection. And so, let's talk about that. What do you think would be most helpful? You know, where are you frustrated? And let's figure out some options because mm-hmm. that's what we do is provide them options. So,
yeah, because there's got to be days. I mean, you've been doing this, what, 18 years mm-hmm, now?
Yeah.
For 18 years, I'm certain there's days where you just had to run your fingers through your hair because mm-hmm. something in the system has gunked up or you've just become frustrated.
Of course. Or even like, you know, myself where I just feel like I didn't do enough or something like that. Cause we're constantly trying to be, we are trying to be the best. And so, you know, it is, it is, we're human. And I think the really helpful thing that we do is provide really clear boundaries. We're teaching boundaries, but we ourselves do really clear boundaries with the people we're serving. We're never overpromising anything. We're not guaranteeing that everything's going to be okay. We're not doing things that we shouldn't be doing. You know, we're very clear on this is what I can talk to you about and help you with or provide options about, but I can't when it comes to this. And so that really helps guide us to not be in a situation where then we're constantly feeling frustrated.
You get a lot of people through the door who might say, I don't feel like my situation mm-hmm. warrants an advocate.
True. Yeah, we do get that. So we get a lot of people who are like, I don't know if I'm in the right place. Nothing's really happened yet. Or it's not like this big dramatic fight has occurred or anything like that. And those are the people we're like, you are absolutely in the right place. Like, let's talk about this and let's talk about options before it gets to that. You know, we're hungry in that prevention piece. And so I do think that is a misconception that people think they can only come to us if something really bad has happened or a big explosion has happened or things like that. But we are there for people who are maybe feeling confused or maybe just starting to wonder if the relationship is for them. They're at a high stress time in their life. And so they are picking up on those tensions, those stressors. And so they are absolutely coming to the right place because we can do things before something like that happens. How great would that be?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
As you said, prevention.
Yeah.
Over, you know, some back end action.
Yeah. I think
it's much better.
Or it's something they've learned or seen before in relationships they've grown up around, you know, like, I think this is going to be bad. You know, things aren't feeling right. We're so happy to honor that they trusted their instinct and came in. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
Or I'm starting to see a cycle.
Yeah, for sure.
And
for
I would like to break that cycle before it develops into something else.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's all violent crime.
Mm-hmm.
You and I talk a lot about, you know, domestic partner violence or intimate partner violence, sexual assaults, things like that.
Yeah.
But it's all violent.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do all violent crimes. So when we're talking to people about the relationship or the intimate partner situations or situationships, you know, that is a lot of that preventative side of things. People are coming in early on. When we're talking about the violent crime victims that we serve, usually something has occurred that has necessitated them to come to us. So that is that like worst thing that's happened to them and they come to us. But most of our walk-ins are people who are walking in and just, you know, someone pointed me in this direction. I'm not feeling good in my relationship. You know, this isn't what I thought it was going to be. I'm confused. I don't feel comfortable. And so that's most of the intimate situations we get in. Of course, we get those other explosions, you know, violent crime incidents, things like that. But most of the time it's people just coming in like, this isn't what I want to do anymore. And so we can provide them some options.
Or if someone feels trapped.
Yeah, for
you
sure.
Know, sometimes there can be. And I'm going to use lingo here because gaslit.
Yeah.
Or situations where I've been manipulated to feel like, hey, everything's fine. And maybe there hasn't been a violence yet. But I don't have control of the money. I don't really see an option for me to go out and do so. I don't feel free like I should be.
Feeling. Yeah.
Is something going on?
Yeah.
Can folks come in and just sit down and talk and just say, look, is this going on or am I?
Oh, I really enjoy when people come in and talk about stuff like that because we really get to sit down and do an education piece about what the power and control dynamic is in a relationship, how there are different types of abuse in a relationship. It doesn't always have to be that physical component, but that financial control, for example, or the intimidation or the gaslighting. And it's really interesting when you sit down with those individuals and you just have a normal, non-judgmental type of supportive conversation where they are able to really identify, this is not a healthy relationship. And coming to that realization, you know, can happen pretty swiftly, but the hard part now is, okay, so what do we want to do? Where do we want to go from here?
And what do we do then? Now, if I did have an eruption situation where I'm like, they did it. They finally hit me. And so I come in, I talk to you. We develop a plan.
Yeah.
Right there on the spot. You've got a process for that.
Yeah. So the most important thing we do is assess safety, and whatever they want to do, it's their life, their situation. They know it better than me. So what would safety look like to them? And they get to explain that to us, as simple or as complex as they want to. And then it's my job to determine, how can I enhance that safety? How can I put this safety plan that they've created into effect? And what are the options that we know are available to them to help them feel safe? We never, ever tell people what to do. That's a common misconception, I think, in helping people is, you know, telling them what to do. You need to do this. You should do this. Those words never come out of our mouths. Here's some ideas, here's some options, here's some resources. What do you think would fit with you the best? And then let's enhance that. Let's make that fit into your life. Because they're the ones that have to work the plan. And so, and some of those things might just be emotional safety, connecting them with resources in the community, like even just having a conversation with a landlord that they didn't know that they could have. Maybe even talking to them about reporting, because they, you know, reporting has never even come across their mind, you know. They have a lot of misconceptions about reporting, so we encourage that reporting, but it's not necessary. We talk to them about how they can utilize schools to bring in on their safety plan if there's children involved. We're so lucky. Everybody here is really connected and involved, and not in a busybody kind of way, in a really helpful kind of way. And so that our safety plan talk could be 3 to 4 hours.
Yeah.
And then it could change tomorrow.
Yeah.
And so,
and that's one thing that I want people to understand as well. And
yeah.
No situation is the same.
No, everything's fluid. And so we really are just helping them realize the lives that they deserve to live. What does that look like, and how can we make that happen?
Now, for those who haven't had that eruption, maybe they're just, as I said before, they're starting to see signs, or they feel like they are. And maybe these green flags have kind of become a little red over the last couple of months, and I feel like I need to talk to somebody to see if I'm going down a path that I can't get out of later, or that could turn into something else. These conversations can happen as well.
Yeah.
And is there like a safety plan that you can help with them?
Oh, oftentimes we're talking about safety when I know they're going back to that home after our meeting, right? And so we are talking about safety within the relationship a lot of the time. You know, we're talking about what boundaries they want to have exist. What if something happens, what is going to be the steps that they are willing to take? You know, it could be a neighbor, a friend, a teacher, something like that, that they're willing to connect with, or us. And so it's really a lot of boundary talking, the, what if scenarios, and what is realistic for them to do. And yeah, a lot of the times we're talking to them and they're still existing in that relationship, and that's fine. We're never going to make them leave or anything like that. We're going to give them the idea and the concept that they can leave if they not if they want to, because there's a lot of forced situations where they can't leave, but that leaving is a possibility, and we're there to help. We're there to help fill the gaps. So maybe it's because they don't have a place to go. Maybe it's because they don't have gas in their car. Maybe it's because they just want to go back to the state where their family is. We can help all of those things. And so a lot of the times people come in and they just kind of want to hear those options and then go process them. Yeah, sure, that happens.
And it makes them feel more secure. Okay, yeah. I have more control than I originally
thought. Well, it definitely makes them feel more in control in a situation where they have no control, or they're being told the complete opposite. So it's just really nice for them to come in and hear that their perceptions of reality that their abuser is telling them is not true.
And that's empowerment.
Yeah, sure.
You know, because abusers, it doesn't matter who they are, and then they're trying to take that empowered. They're trying to remove that power from you. Mm-hmm. And so hearing it from somebody else on the outside, you can still go. You can still make these choices.
A lot of the people we work with, they're working their jobs, they're going to school, they're raising their kids, you know, they're in that life. It doesn't look like abuse on the outside. They're in that life, but the wheels are starting to turn, formulating a plan, and we want to help make that plan happen.
Rhonda, I've run out of time with you. Let's talk about real quick. I've got about 45 seconds left. Numbers people should know.
Yeah. So our crisis line number, which is 307-672-3222. It's answered by people from your community. And then we do have a website, arcsheridan.org.
Address.
Yep. 136 Coffeen Avenue, right across from Ridley's Grocery Store.
Thank you for everything that you and your team do for our community and the people that you help, my friend.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
And thank you for coming in today.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust invites you to the Rooted in Adventure Sweepstakes.
Now through July, every eligible purchase with your First Federal MasterCard debit card earns an entry.
You don't have a card? Open an account online to start participating.
The more you use your card, the more chances you earn.
You could win a trip for two to New York, LA, Miami, or Chicago, or prepaid MasterCards worth $1,000 or $500.
The Rooted in Adventure Sweepstakes on now at First Federal Bank and Trust. Go to efirstfederal.bank for full details.
It's a Memorial Day sale like no other at Shipton's Big R. In your mailbox and available at our stores, our 16-page flyer full of honorable savings. Propane refills, just $2.50 per gallon. For the home or the farm and ranch, save $200 on Coleman electric go-karts, 25% off all Keen footwear and short-sleeve shirts from Kuhl, $1.50 savings on bags of Sun Glow Show feeds, lamb, goat, cattle, and pig. $5 off a complete flag kit, including the pole. And the savings continue with sale prices on steel string trimmers and Blackstone griddles. Take 20% off Panther Martin lures, straw hats, $5 off lawn and garden batteries, and kids' wading pools. Honorable savings from practically every department in our store. Our Memorial Day savings event is happening right now at all Shipton's Big R store locations. Shipton's Big R.
Hey folks, this is Patrick Durchy here at Sheridan Motors. Everybody knows we've got a great selection of new vehicles. What a lot of people don't realize is we also have one of the best selections of used vehicles in town. Right now we've got over 70 used vehicles on the lot, including more than 20 priced under $30,000. Cars, trucks, and SUVs, something for just about every budget. And with dozens of banks and lenders to work with, we'll do everything we can to help you get approved. Come see us today at Sheridan Motors.
Now is a great time to shop for new bedroom furniture at Moss Holders. Everything bedroom is on sale. You can treat yourself to a brand new master suite, or maybe update that guest bedroom you've forgotten about. Save on all dressers, nightstands, headboards, chests, and more. Give your kids some extra storage for their clothes, or add a new dresser for yourself. Buy one piece or an entire bedroom group, it's all on sale right now at Moss Holders. Moss Holders Bedroom Sale, going on now. Moss Holders, furniture is our passion.
Here in Wyoming, your roof better be tougher than the weather. At Branded 307 Roofing, we install commercial purlin-bearing roofing, residential metal roofs, and standing seam systems, built to handle hail, wind, snow, and whatever else the bighorns can throw at it. Metal roofing is up for the challenge. Whether it's home, shop, ranch, or commercial building, we build roofs that last, with craftsmanship that's built different. No shortcuts, no excuses, just quality roofing, period. Call us today, Branded 307, branding Wyoming, one home at a time.
Rich DeMuro here. Join me for Rich on Tech, Saturdays at 2
on News Talk 930 and 1-